Yeah. Item 4 is a rezoning at 725 Sterling Lion Parkway, west of Keniston Boulevard and south of CNR Rail Line, under file DAZ215/2014.
Hard copy too, just in case.
Yeah, backup.
There we go.
There you go.
It's always tricky.
Okay. Good evening, councilors. My name is Blair Forster. I'm the Vice President of Development for Harvard Developments and the President of Forster Projects. And I'm based out of Regina, and I hope you don't hold that against me after the last 2 weeks of CFL.
We still have a quarterback.
But you did kill our quarterback, so I won't hold that against you. These two companies are the developers of the 117 acres on the northwest corner of Sterling Lion and Keniston that we have named Outlets of Seasons. In my 23 years associated with Harvard Developments, we've developed approximately 6 million square feet of retail projects. We are not merchant builders, so what that means is we plan on holding this asset for the foreseeable future, if not in perpetuity. And because of that, it requires a dedicated focus on a mix of compatible uses, strong and timeless architectural themes, attractive and sustainable landscaping, and a focus on pedestrian connectivity. When we acquired this site, we realized that most of our usual retail tenants and partners were represented in the trade area. And as such, if we were to develop it traditionally, we probably would have had a parcel that would have sat vacant for a protracted period of time. We felt that the project needed to introduce two strong and defining themes, the first of which was to introduce Winnipeg's only fashion outlet mall, and the second was to introduce a retail node into the project. And this high-density residential node would reinforce the complete community and master planned feel of the project. This committee will see more information in the upcoming months on the exciting joint venture that we formed with Ivanhoe Cambridge for the production of the fashion outlet mall. But what we're discussing here today is the second dominant theme, which is the residential node. It's our experience that the introduction of a residential node within our large-scale commercial projects benefits the look, feel, operation, and energy of these projects. And in this case, it represents a transitional buffer between the adjacent residential uses. The residential density provides a built-in customer base for the retail. It creates an active pedestrian environment. It also creates an 18-hour-a-day activity center for the project. It balances trip generation on the roadways. It lessens vehicular trips and parking congestion, and it helps reduce crime and vandalism with more eyes on the street and adhering to SEPTED principles. So I'm now going to turn it over to Veronica to go through the specifics of the application, and then we'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have following that.
For the record, Veronica Eno, Suite 111, 93 Lombard. So I think everybody's quite familiar with the site, obviously, but as Blair discussed, this is the north part of what has been the overall Seasons of Tuxedo development that started in 2009. So when that development was approved, the north side was all zoned C4 as well for regional commercial development. So the overall property goes from Sterling Lion on the south up to the CN tracks on the north, over to Keniston on the east side, and then to the west up to the residential development that's currently under construction right now. And to the north is the South Tuxedo residential neighborhood on the north side of the rail. So as Blair mentioned, the site planning has been evolving, and the concept of having residential has now become part of the site planning process. So unfortunately, this air photo isn't oriented the same way, but I'm sure that everybody's able to follow. The right-hand side is south, and the left-hand side is north here. You can see how the residential area here fits into the overall commercial development. The access to the site is provided via two signalized intersections on Sterling Lion, and there will be transit provided into the site from the most westerly signalized intersection here and come up between the residential and the commercial development. There will be bus bays provided in there and a transit loop for buses to turn around and head back out the same way, and that's been developed in discussions with Transit Department. From an active transportation perspective, the site has an extensive network that connects into the regional active transportation system that runs along Keniston and the south side of Sterling Lion, connecting up to Fort White Center and Assiniboine Forest. And then within the site, there's also an extensive network that's provided on both sides of the internal circulation road, and will also be provided coming through the residential area here and connecting up to the residential area to the west that's under construction right now. So focusing in onto the rezoning application, the subject site is in the northwest corner. It incorporates lots 1 through 6, and the proposed zoning that we're looking at is residential mixed use, the RMU zone. And that's going from the C4 use currently. So the planners provided a bit of a definition of the RMU zone in the report, and the proposed uses on the site reflect that definition very well, looking at medium to higher density residential with some limited commercial on site. And we would like to note that the current C4 zone has no height limit and has a floor area ratio of 600%, 6-to-1 building area to land area. So it's a fairly intensive zoning district right now, and the RMU is effectively a down zoning for the site. So the conceptual plan here shows the layout of the uses. It's respectful of the single family area that's to the north there. The developer is proposing lower units at the north end of the site and then stepping up the heights of the residential units as you move away to the south. So that was an important consideration in looking at how to lay out the development here. To the east, there's a proposed live-work section between the residential and the commercial. And in the southeast corner, proposed 2-to-3-story residential area adjacent to the traffic circle. As required by the city, a berm and sound fence is proposed on the north side of the project. It's about 100 feet from the CNR railway there. And there's also a required chain link safety fence at the property line. In relation to the development to the north, the residential that's on the north side of the railway tracks, the closest residential would be about 80 meters from the construction on this proposed site to the rear lot lines on the north side. So that's about 250 feet. And those lots themselves on the north side are about 200 feet in depth. So there's some pretty significant buffer provided there. And then where the higher units are proposed, it's about 120 meters to the rear lot lines.
Sir, just a question. So you're saying in the yellow segment on the south part, that's 2-to-3-story, you're saying, and the orange, the north part, is that as well? How big of?
Probably anywhere from 3 to 4 stories in that location. This particular location has some compatibility with the traffic circle here for visibility, and also some of the lower commercial units that will be located in this area. So this is somewhat lower, as is this. The live-work units would be about 2 to 3 stories as well. And then further south on the site, it would move up through 4, 5, and 6 story units. So in comparison to the development that's located to the west there, that was recently approved. There are 3 7-story units on that site, one of which is relatively close to the proposed site here. And that unit is set back at approximately 80 meters as well. So that just provides a little bit of context here in terms of the adjacent uses and the similarity and compatibility between the two. In terms of design, the proposed building type will vary, going from apartment-style units to lower-rise residential, and provide a range of needs and ages, services. Developer-enforced guidelines are going to be incorporated to make sure that there's compatibility between the residential buildings and also between the residential and commercial development, because there's an interest in having that high-quality design. So as per the planner's report, there is also plan approval required for each building to come forward for the details of building materials, layout, landscaping, fencing, and so on. And so we're confident that that process will also help to ensure compatibility with that residential neighborhood to the north. So just to summarize, we wanted to note that prior to the hearing, letters were sent out to the closest neighbors to the north to let them know about the upcoming hearing. And we received a couple of phone calls and one email, and provided some information to people. As noted in the planner's report, incorporating the residential fits well with our Winnipeg and the Complete Communities Direction strategy. The site's going to be serviced with transit, active transportation network on site. The plans are consistent with the zone to the west, and the building design will be monitored through that plan approval process. And the last thing that we just wanted to note, the planner's report is supportive, and we concur in that. And we'd just like to note that recommendation number 2 is a standard condition that generally comes with most zoning applications regarding land dedication. And I spoke to the manager of land development yesterday to verify that all of the land dedication on this property was paid during the original zoning process. And because this is effectively a down zoning, there's not an increase in value. So we would like to request that that condition be removed, but we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Because you're saying it was in the original zoning that we took the 10% at that point.
Yeah, it was already addressed. And I think it in our discussion, it's sort of a standard clause that ends up on the reports, and it has been addressed. So. Yeah, so if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them, or if there are other people here to speak, we can listen and then come back to respond.
Questions? I have one. Anyway. I'm just curious about the density. Yeah. What's your guess on units or persons, you know?
Yeah, there's the RMU zone in, if you just look at the zoning regulations, could provide up to 1,800 units in total on this site. I believe it's about 86 units per acre. That's under the zoning. Given the proposed heights that we're looking at and the provision for parking, landscaping, and so on, it would probably be less than that.
Yeah, the original design that you saw in the plan contemplates 4 different asset classes coming on stream all approximately at the same time. One would be rental apartments. The second would be the live-work element, which I've referred to in front of this committee before as a living fence. It's a good transition where you're incorporating a small amount of commercial on the main level with residential above. The third asset class is an assisted living facility, and the The purchaser of that land that we have at the table right now specializes in memory care, so it would be a very specialized facility. And then the fourth is a traditional condominium development, which we feel would be no greater than six stories. But right now, the purchaser that we're talking to probably is going to be closer to four. But we're just in the planning stage of all these right now, so we can't answer that question exactly. But I can tell you that I don't think we'll be approaching the density levels permitted under the zoning with who we have at the table today.
I do have a process question. So you want kind of approval for this overall, but you're saying it'll come back. So and this might be a question for administration. It'll come back, in terms of if it's four or five stories or what have you, and what the density will allow. There'll be an application for each individual, or maybe you bring the whole package back in terms of what it's going to look like.
And as you can well imagine, the amount of time and effort it takes for these purchasers to design their projects is significant. And what they're looking for right now is just to say, do you have a residential zoning on this? We understand we need to put something forward to the governing body to get approval on our project, but we'd hate to invest all this time and effort only to find out you couldn't even get it zoned residentially. And so we said, fully understood, let's go through the two-step process here where we'll come.
So this is really the master plan.
This is the master plan area, and then once we have actual designs, we'll be coming back to you and saying, does this work with your vision and our vision for this project?
Okay. And I'm assuming at that point, this might be another question for administration, but just in terms of traffic counts and all that kind of stuff, you're suggesting that there could be upwards of 1,800 people, I guess. Is it 1,800 units or 1,800?
1,800 units.
Units.
That would be the outside maximum allowed under the zone.
From a transportation perspective, this actually lessens the impact on the roadways. Residential operates exactly opposite the movements of commercial. So what you're doing is you're leveraging your infrastructure and you're actually lessening the issues around parking and transportation with a residential introduction into the project. So we think that it'll be a benefit.
Okay.
Paula. Thanks for coming today. Could you tell me the surrounding area? This may be sort of a side issue, but it's primarily retail. How full to capacity are you?
Well, if we go back to the aerial that's shown, the blue box, the larger blue box, is the joint venture that we've done with Ivanhoe Cambridge, which will be coming to you sometime in the next few months with the initial introduction of the concept plan. Along Keniston Boulevard, you've got a hotel shown there, which is right under Keniston, the K. We've got a luxury automotive dealer in place for the next building on the south, and we've got a third automotive dealer that we're just actually getting an offer from, hopefully by Friday. The balance of the space we have not focused on yet, quite frankly. We've been trying just to get all of this in place right now and then turn our attention to the residual 50 acres of land. Our major marketing annual conference is September the 25th in Toronto, and we've got upwards of 75 meetings with people interested in this site right now, but we're just in the initial phases. Where it says Sterling Lion Parkway on the plan, that node we are hoping will be a more neighborhood convenience node, grocery anchored, again, closest to all the residential that's happening. The Precon project beside us, what we're talking to you about today, and then the rental apartments that Seymour Pacific is doing immediately south. So we're trying to cluster this in a very efficient manner to aid in even the internal circulation that's going to happen in the site.
My second question is, nowhere in the report does it say why you're seeking to change this zoning. Why are you moving in this direction?
There's a few reasons for that. We just, in all our projects, and so we've got projects underway in Regina, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg all at the same time, and we are introducing residential into all of them. We think it's the way our industry is going. We think it adds to the complete community feel of these developments. We think it helps dramatically with transportation issues in and around the site. And every community that we're dealing with, is looking to densify its boundaries. And there's going to be a scorecard, and I'm sure the planners are talking about it right now, on just your footprint as a ratio to your population. And I think over time communities are going to be governed by their how efficient they are in delivering this. In its simplest terms, it's leveraging our built infrastructure and putting more people on a smaller footprint and saving money and stopping. I'm not a fan of the word sprawl because I don't think that's legitimate in Western Canada, but I am a big fan of densifying our commercial nodes in our downtowns, and we just think it's a holistic view on taking these large scale commercial projects and making them places where people want to. You know, we said it, live, work, stay, and play. And I know that's kind of a passe statement, but it's the only one I can think of.
Can I see?
Well, I was just going to, I guess, sort of close that off. So it was before, it's always been planned since it was initially approved to be retail. And so this is quite a shift.
Yeah.
It's a downgrade in terms of actual zoning. But it's quite a shift from what was originally approved, I guess 2009.
Yeah. The one thing to note on the 2009 application is that our standard coverage in a commercial project is about 25%. So about 25% of a land mass would be building, and the rest would be parking and roadways and landscaping, etc. There is a limitation on the amount of commercial that can go on both the north and south side of Sterling Lyon. We are at that max net of this area.
Because the market has dictated?
No, you layered that density restriction on the site. Now, that's not saying we couldn't come back and actually ask for increased density on here, but we feel that this is a much more appropriate land use in the area than coming back and asking for another what would that be on 25% of 20 acres? That would be 5 acres of building, so another 250,000 square feet of commercial on the site.
How many square feet are there then on this site of commercial?
910,000, I believe, is the max that we are permitted under the zoning on the north side of Sterling
Lyon.
That's
the max.
The max.
Are you actually going to...
I think we're at about 865,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How big is the whole site overall?
117.8 acres.
Okay. You know, I got a question for you. I cycle a lot in this area, and what I've noticed about this area. There's a lot of people that come across from the Lynnwoods area or what have you, and with the expansion obviously at Keniston over the years and stuff like that, there is a bit of a, I don't want to say divide of the community, but it's very difficult to get across, and it seems to me this might be more of a city issue. You know, there's got to be some sort of way you can bridge the gap or allow people to walk in the communities or anything else that, you know, to kind of go across the Keniston area. Now, I guess that's your active transportation plan, but, you know, obviously there's not, you know, tons of money to throw at these infrastructure types of projects, but on a citywide basis, there's almost a case to be made to have something that goes over top of Keniston to a certain extent to combine communities, because when you have such a busy street, if you ever try and walk across it or take your bike across it, it's you know, you're taking your life in your own hands, you know, if you're doing it as well as it divides communities. So, you know, I think just not only from a residence point of view, but from a city point of view, having that active, and I know that's the concept you guys are going for in terms of that live, work, play model, which is important, but I truly think it is important, not just for this area, but also for the other, you know, across the parting of the ways.
I couldn't agree with you more, and we would be, you know, very supportive of something that would draw more, a larger customer base from a pedestrian standpoint to our project. Yeah. What we think we're talking about today doesn't actually have any of those limitations.
That. I'm just making
doesn't
a
create any cost that's associated with that. But I agree with you.
Yeah. So that's the plan for the active transportation piece that's affiliated with that. And
well, those are already there.
Yeah. Or the nodes. It's important.
The black is there, and then everything that's in color is what we're adding through the over figures seeing under construction right now.
Yeah. So how would you get across if you're going down Keniston, down one of the black ones? I guess you just got to cross the way where the blue and where the yellow, where the green is, I guess. So, I mean, it's not as busy down Sterling Line as it is. Well, it's still, you know, it's still
pretty busy. Busier.
Shouldn't say that. You know, it's easier probably crossing there than it would be Keniston, let's say. But
I think that once the infrastructure's into the site here, too, and given what's on the south side as well, that some people might start using the sites to go through, to get across. And there's certainly a lot provided for people to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think it just increases the valuation of whatever your development's going to be, too. I mean, you're talking to someone who's not, you know, not some raving, active transportation, but I think it just builds into the development of the community, which makes sense for the flow of the communities.
Well, and I want to reiterate that we're not merchant builders, so this, you know, our view is a very long-term view on this project, and we want to make sure that it adapts to the market over time.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that we're going to see more pedestrian visits over time than we have vehicular visits. That's not happening today, but we want to make sure we plan our sites to accommodate that.
Okay. Yeah. No, looks like a good plan to me. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We'll call you back up if some questions.
Okay. We have some other folks here in support. In no particular order, Brock Finstra. Okay, thank you. And Stephen. Okay, you're good. And somebody here for information is Michael Hutzel. Okay. Sure, absolutely. You'll have your chance.
The picture back up. I'm not immediately affected by this, but I live at 140 Park Place East, which is the furthest southeast residence in Tuxedo right now. So when I bought the property, I thought...
You know what? If you
could, okay, you just need to record you for...
Yeah, if you could just give us your name and your address, and then you can give us your 2 cents for it.
Okay, for the record, Michael Hutzel. HUTSAL, live at 140 Park Place East.
Thank you.
So I'm north of the development. My property line is really against the Capion Barracks and not the berm ends at my house. So a bunch of my neighbors had circulated emails about this project and about previous when the whole development went in. I think our neighborhood concern is noise. Light at night. When IKEA opened, it was like being in the movie Insomnia in my bedroom with all the Klieg lights on running all night on that site. So I would hope that the developer will be sensitive to those concerns, because that is a major concern. The berm ends at my place. When the underpass was dug on Keniston, I assumed that that's where the dirt was going to go. However, that wasn't the case, because it got hauled away, because I think the Capion land claim situation is going to go on ad infinitum. But the concern of my neighbors has been, well, what's going to go there that's going to reflect noise back to our residences? I can't claim I didn't know the CN main line was there, but I've been through the Bakken oil field many times. I know how much Bakken oil is going behind my place, and it's increasing all the time. And so I can't get the CN main line moved. So I think that our concern is that the development be sensitive to the fact that we don't want, you know, lighting all night that's going to disturb our residences. Some sensitivity to that, and I know there's new lighting standards coming out that keep the light more contained. We don't have the acoustic fence at our end of the development for lots of reasons. I guess that land was city owned when it was originally and never got that. I don't know what's going to happen to the Capion situation, but as long as I don't have we don't have a 100-foot high building with concrete, 80 feet on the other side of the tracks, reflecting all the noise back at us. I guess that's the best we can hope for when these developments go in, that it's not making an existing problem a lot worse. I'm not asking the city to, or the developer, to not develop the land. It's going to be developed in a way, but those are some of the concerns I think my neighbors and I have, even though I'm not directly affected by this particular rezoning right there. It's the more commercial end that's down by me, and I'm at the whim of what's going to happen with the Capyong situation too. All I've got between that and me is a 40-foot or 40 or 50-foot easement there for hydro and it's hydro and gas. But those are the things that generally that have been circulated in our area. I know there was a survey taken about the time you guys were applying for the original variance on the land, and there was some, I felt, as one of the people in our area, I thought that the acoustic fence made sense. I don't know that everybody along Park Place thinks the same. I think it would make sense, but then I'm only one person, and actually it would not even affect my property because my property comes to an exact point there. But the issue is, do we get something that's completely out of character with the neighborhood? I think the what the developer's proposing makes a certain amount of sense. What appeared to be the concern was the ability of residential neighbors to be able to look right at somebody's property. But there's, I suppose, over time there's ways to mitigate that too. So that's really the concern that I have.
Okay. Comments, Jeff?
Thank you for coming and for sharing your thoughts. And I looked up where you actually live so I could see it in relation. But, you know, I can tell you that every time work gets done, a site plan comes back to this committee, and mm-hmm. we have insisted on lights that shine downward and noise attenuation wherever we can in respect to of the neighborhood there. I can also tell you, as the area councillor, I visited a lot of the properties along the way. Some want the continuation of a noise attenuation fencing. It's sort of in chunks. Some want the property line moved to their side of the berm. They don't want the responsibility. Some like it as a storage area. So it's very inconsistent what the neighborhood wants. But, you know, we try to, as a committee here, I think, be accommodating to some of the issues and sensitivities.
I accept that. I know for a fact that not everybody thinks my thinking is, be careful what you wish for. I didn't ask enough questions of Bill Clinton. Well, who could answer? I mean, at the time when the underpass was dug, where did you think the dirt was going to go? Well, the logical place was just a pile it right up there along the CN. That's your CN berm. And then I realized they weren't doing that. And that's when I became very interested, because the difference in the noise between a berm and no berm is significant. So, but I'm the guy in the city that gets the most noise. So I can live with that as long as there isn't a whole pile more reflected back against me. Right. And as long as somebody doesn't build a six-story building at the back corner of Capyong Barracks when that eventually gets settled, maybe in the year 2075 or something like that. I'll be dead by then, but maybe my kids will have the house. So I have nothing further to add. It was just I came for information and to sort of express some of what I think is sort of felt along the way, and I think, you know, we can't stop development. We're not about that. It's just these are interesting issues, and I don't know that we could ever get this attenuation barrier ever dealt with, because not everybody's going to agree on it. And I've been in a couple of houses where the barrier is, and it works very well. And I can't understand why people wouldn't accept that and say that that's a reasonable solution. But anyway, I will take my leave. Thank you.
Yeah, can we have the applicant's return, please? Yeah, is there anyone else that's in opposition or want information? I didn't think there was. Thank you. Yeah. I'd like to make a comment just based on what Mr. Hutzel was saying. I seem to recall when we did Oxbow, which is the one at the west end of that sort of chunk of land, that some of the taller buildings were turned.
And they're more on Sterling Line. We have this, and we have the buildings.
Yeah, slanted. they're terraced, and they're turned instead of being this way, they're this way.
That's right.
You know, so that's one method of not having people peer into backyards. So
during the plan approval process, that seven-story building was reduced to five stories. That was another sort of compromise for the neighbors.
And there's a hotel on the retail site. You know, have you got a guess at what the height of that might be?
We don't have a banner yet on it. The hotel operator is canvassing some of the banners right now, but we would expect it would be a four-story structure with an amenity facility like a water park in it. But the intent is to have family stay for a weekend where mom can go shop and dad can go to the Jets game and the kids have a pool to play in. That's the vision for this, you know, this project.
Okay, great. Anyway.
Yeah, so those are great comments, and we appreciate the feedback. Obviously, noise and light pollution is a critical element, a design element that we take into account in every project that we deal with. And again, that will be coming before you as a committee to see the plans and deal with all those issues at the point in time. As it relates to the rail sound, the barriers that we're putting are to shield the sound coming onto our site, not to shield anything on the other side. And I'm no acoustical expert by any means, but I know when Michael Nozick of Fairweather originally got this done, they did a study, and it was determined that the loudest point was the generator of the sound, not the rebound from anything in the distance. So if you're on the train side or the engine side of a train, you're going to be on the loudest side of that train. You would have to put a buffer on the other side of the to mitigate any noise from the rail, and nothing rebounding from our site, whether it be a building or a fence, would actually increase the sound on the opposite side. So we don't think we are adding anything to the noise that the rail generates currently with the residents that back onto it today.
Any other questions, comments?
I think right now it looks like a very good development.
That's great. Okay, thanks for joining us today.
Okay, I'd like to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to Executive Policy Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And, this is the last project we're approving. And I have to say that I take a lot of pride in this and what this project has become, because to incorporate the residential element is really something. And, the bar has been set high all the way along on the entire Seasons of Tuxedo site, but I think that we've set it, and we've actually offered something really unique for Winnipeg in having places where people can work and live and have those units all in one. So, the circumstances changed somewhat from who and what was originally marketing this and how it was being positioned, and I think that it's even something greater. So as our last project as a community committee, I'm really proud to be supporting it. So, I don't know if you had.
I would concur, and good work done by everyone, and look forward to seeing what the next 4 years brings to that whole area. It's going to be pretty dynamic.
And I would like to go back and remove recommendation item 2.
Okay.
That because the
land
dedication has already been paid. I know we've done things.
In that case, just because we're making a change, Councillor Ogoda's standing policy on P&D.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
all those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Carried.
And I move
that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?